25 minutes left is because we had a lot of stuff to cover today with respect to the recall and Manatech financial announcement. All that stuff is great, and we need to know about all that. But I also want to sneak some training in this morning, and some of the things come up from people. Oh, by the way, somebody asked me last week, I think it was Roz, about can I train on chiropractic, how to approach chiropractic. Lydia informed me that that training and the outline for that, Roz and anyone else who might be interested, is already been posted to the ManaTrain website. So it's a training I must have done over the last couple of years, and we've already posted the training on it and the outline. So look on that ManaTrain website and just listen to the MP3 file on that. And that's great. And if you have any further questions or issues around that, give me a, you know, talk to me about it on next Monday call or send me an email, and I'll try to answer any questions you have about chiropractors and how to approach them. Okay? So anyway, so today this kind of came up with because I had a number of questions that, and of course my trainings a lot of times tie into what my experience is over the week. So when I have things that come up during the week from associates, I know it can't be just burning issues of my associates, but it's got to be burning issues of other associates. And a lot of them were kind of questions about different things that prospects say. In the midst of doing a presentation and going out and sharing with people, what are prospects' commentaries? What are their common questions or their issues that are coming back? And today's talk is not about necessarily objections that come back, but, you know, just comments that you get fed back to you from prospects. And you sometimes they just stun you, or they catch you off guard, and you're going, oh, my, I don't know how to respond to it. I don't know what to say. And my request of you in terms of putting yourself in a better light so that you're really prepared, is to have some kind of concept of how you're going to respond to them. In other words, be prepared. Have an idea of how you would respond to certain language that you hear over and over again. And for those of you who are relatively new associates, this is a great call because you might not have heard any of these yet, but they're going to come up. And you want to be prepared. You don't want to get people to catching you off guard with nothing to say. And some of these things that people ask, they ask over and over and over again. So we made kind of a list of them that came out from, you know, partially from what I've heard in over the last week and partially from another training I had done in the past on this about how to respond to your prospects' most common questions. And so I'm just going to run through. I gave you the list, and I'm going to run through how I respond to them and give you some ideas around how you could potentially respond to them. So take notes, you know, feed yourself the information. Also, you can re-listen to this call. It's going to be posted on ManaTrain if you need to. But this is just to give you ideas of what language to be using to help support you be the best you can be in a recruiting situation. Because I know one thing for a fact, the more prepared you are to respond to people's, you know, commentary or objections, the more of a prospecting machine you're going to be. And that's the number one thing that we don't do enough of is go out and share with people. So if I can develop you guys into masterful sharers, it's going to be amazing how your business is going to grow. So let's work on that. So learn how to respond. Here's one of them. Sometimes people get very short with us and they'll go, well, what is this all about? Now, the response to that is going to be based on whether are you presenting them a business or the product. What's this all about? It tends to be people that ADHD, you know, and we've got tons of that out there. So we know that people are, they don't have the patience. They don't. So what's this all about? They kind of want a nutshell. So from a business perspective, I like to tell people, you know, if somebody says, what is this all about, Mary Jo? I go, it's about building alternative streams of financial income to provide yourself and family true financial security by riding three of the hottest trends in the market today. Great language. It's about building alternative streams of financial income to provide yourself and your family true financial security by riding three of the hottest trends in the market today. Okay, if that's about business. If they ask me about product, they say, what's this all about? When I'm talking about glyconutrients or I give them materials, I say, I'd love to talk to you. And they go, what's this all about? I said, in that regard, I go, it's about protecting you and your family's health with the newest breakthrough discoveries in nutrition. Notice how I try to make everything personal in my responses to them because I want people make decisions based on emotions. So I want them to feel a personal connectedness to what I'm presenting to them, not something somebody else has done or some, you know, benefit somebody else has, or talk about something that, you know, they can't even relate to. That's why I tie into you and your family, providing, protecting you and your family's health with the newest breakthrough discoveries in nutrition. Great languaging, gets right to the core, touches their heart. The second question sometimes that comes out, people go, just cut to the chase. In other words, these are the ADHD to the 10th degree. They don't want to live, they want, give me the bottom line right now, right here. That's it. And I, around the business, when they're just asking me bottom line, what I loved, when I'm trying to impress somebody and say, you're either in or out, I kind of look at them from business. I said, you know, we're going to create 10 million new millionaires in this industry in the next 10 years. Yes, Paul Zane Pilser, world-acclaimed economist and advisor to two presidential administrations in trend analysis, is predicting this. And this is your opportunity to be a part of it. Are you in or out? So I throw cut to the chase right back. Are you in or out? You get that closing language around that. Are you in or out? Boom. You know, we're going to create 10 million new millionaires in this industry in the next 10 years. Yes, Paul Zane Pilser, world-acclaimed economist and advisor to two presidential administrations in trend analysis, is predicting this. And this is your opportunity to be a part of it. Are you in or out? Next, move on. If they're talking about just cut to the chase about the product, you go, hey, a discovery's been made that's changing healthcare industries and providing us a tool to stave off disease and experience the longevity intended. It's up to you. Do you want it or not? Great language. Just language. It just, boom. You want to cut to the chase? This is what it is. A discovery made that changing healthcare, providing us tool to stave off disease and experience longevity intended. It's up to you. Do you want it or not? They make a decision. Yes or no. Boom. Cut to the chase. How much does this cost? If somebody asks that question to me, it doesn't matter where it is in the presentation, I never answer the question direct because everybody's different. So my response from a product perspective, when they ask how much does it cost, I go, you know, every person has differing health challenges that need to be met. So upon assessing those of you and your family, we'll be in a much better position to determine what the price will be. So you tie it back to them and their family. Make it a family thing. That will allow you to lead into, divert their attention off of price and divert their attention into what are your family health issues. That's what you want to do. You want to get personal with it. You want to divert them off of the price topic. Because a lot of people who ask always about concentrating on price are people that first indication is scarcity mentality. There's a scarcity issue. It's always about cost. It's not about value. It's about cost. So you want to divert them off of cost and get them back into value. And the way you establish value is talk about what it can make the difference, what difference it can make in their lives. And you need to find out what their family issues are to talk about what difference it could make for them. All right? So, you know, defer them off of cost and price and get them into, you know, differing health challenges to be met. So upon assessing those of you and your family, we'll be in a better position to determine that. Where can I document, verify this? A lot of people want documentation. They want verification. I'm suggesting you don't offer to give them more and more information. In fact, this past Saturday, I did a training in Findlay, Ohio, and that was one of the things we talked about. One of the number one ways of you avoiding closing, getting to the closing, is offering to get them more information. I never offer somebody more information. And it took me a long time to develop the habit of getting rid of that as a normal comment or normal response to people. When I realized, when you get into the point where you say, well, would you like some more information? The minute you mention that, all you're doing, just, I want you to listen to yourself. All it is a huge red flag saying to you, I'm procrastinating one more time, or I'm playing evasive action one more time on avoiding a close. I'm afraid of asking if they're ready to get started. And that's a mechanism you use to defer that. People will jump onto that because the average person in the world, it wants to defer making decisions. Why? Because they're afraid of making mistakes. So if you give them an out to defer making a decision, they'll jump on it. They can't. If you asked them, what more information do you want, they probably couldn't even tell you. But since you offered it, they want it because it allows them to continue to delay making a decision. I want people to make decisions right now. I want to, you know, you saw the DVD, you read the tape, what more could you want? What, you know? And there's a great closing that Proctor uses around that. It's kind of like do or die closing. he just looks at a person and he says, you know what, I think we've shared enough information on this that this is either a great decision for you or not. And he puts the piece of paper in front of him, the application form with a pen, and he just is quiet. This is either a great decision for you or not. Here's, and you put the piece of paper in front of them, let them, and don't talk. The first one to talk loses. So it's just about forcing the decision. Some of you need to start doing that because you're lingering with people for ages, and you're letting them just play their procrastination game. Don't empower. You want to empower people to make good decisions. Don't enable them to stay in their procrastination realm. Okay? So where can I document or verify this? That's great. I don't give them more. I say, hey, with glyconutrients, if it's about the products, I send them to glycoscience.org. I say, hey, you want to document this stuff. That's a great site to find all the science you can report. Skincare, I send people to hydratedskin.com. The business side, I would hand them. Today, I think the Pilsner piece is so good that I hand them that. I also tell them to look up the IBM 2007 Strategic Business Planning Unit Analysis of Healthcare 2015. I still think that's an incredible piece. Or I carry around with me copies of the summary, because you don't want the 167-page document, but the summary is what is so cool. If IBM and their Strategic Planning Unit for corporate executives is telling us this world's going into preventive health, that's good enough for me. That's going to support you with the concept of trend analysis of where this is headed. Where is our healthcare headed if we're going to have win-win versus lose-lose? So use that piece as well. Those two are great. The fifth thing on the outline is this going to cost me anything? Well, we already did the cost. You know, what's the price in terms of, because that's a pricing issue a lot of times comes up when you're dealing with the products. But is this going to cost me anything? If you're talking from a business perspective, I love to look at people. I said only in the short run. And they'll say, what do you mean? I just say only in the short run. Don't go effusive about it. And then they'll say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you tell me where you can find a business and be in a full-time business for yourself for $1,099 just to get started, and that within a month you could easily have that money back in your pocket in addition to having the products available. It doesn't exist. That kind of opportunity just doesn't exist. So your choice. Look at it that way. So I always say only in the short run, because truly, once you get this business going, there is no cost to it. The cost, because you're going to cover 100% of the cost out of the cash flow that's generated from, you know, getting out there and sharing, as long as you do the business and you get out and share. So I love to answer it. Only in the short run. Is this going to cost me anything from business? Only in the short run. And you can't find another business in the world where you can invest $1,099 up front, within a month have it back, and have a full-time business that you're running. You just can't find it. It doesn't exist. You can buy a McDonald's franchise for $150,000. I don't even want to begin to tell you how long it's going to take you to get that income, that money back. Okay, number six, how much money have you made? Show me your checks. Sometimes people ask you that question. That's come up with some of the people. And now if you have big checks, you might want to show it to them. Ray Robbins loves to show his little check stub around. He's shown it to me and many others at Manatech headquarters. I don't tend to do that because I think that tends to be a little bit more flaunting of income, and I don't think that's important. What is important is that you let them know there's no relationship between what you're making and what they're going to make. There is no relationship. Because everyone does the business differently. So how much I've made is no relationship to how much you're going to make, because everybody does the business differently. I will, however, be retired in 3 years living my dreams. That's the importance. It's not about what you're making today. It's about what your goal is down the road. So, you know, make sure you incorporate language that covers that. So, again, you'd say how much I have made is no relationship to how much you will make, because we all do the business differently. I will, however, tell you that in 3 years, I will be retired and living my dreams. Boom. That's the end of it. That gets rid of that concept. And for you, it might be 3 years, and for you, it might be 5 years. Whatever your goals are that you've set, that tells you, so as he, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you know what? You're always going to be right. So get that belief system working for you. How long have you been in the business? I you know, when people ask me that question, I sometimes laugh, and I go, you know, it seems like it was just yesterday. And it's a good thing to respond that way because it makes it the joy of being in the business is there. You want to be joyful about the business. You don't want to say, oh, my gosh, I've been in the business for 15 years. Well, good luck when you're out there prospecting, working with people. It's about, seems like just yesterday, but it has been 7 years or whatever the time period is. Seems like just yesterday. It's a refreshing response. It's a mechanism of allowing them to see that, that there's a lot of joy. And just like when you meet somebody and you really get along with them tremendously and they're good friends of yours, 10 years later you go, wow, you know, we have such a fresh relationship. It seems like it was just yesterday that we met, you know, because it just, they're such a blessing in your life. But just that's what you're going to talk about. So you can, but come up with a good response. There are other ways of responding to that. Some people say, wow, I've been in the business for 10 years, and man, has it totally changed my life. You know, there's another way. So you can take on that kind of look to how long you've been in the business. So you can be joyful about it that way and to talk about how it's changed your life. What difference have you experienced? Another question is, can you finance me? Oh, that's a good one. Every once in a while, one of my people will say, Mary Jo, you know, this person asked me if I'd finance him in the business. All right, this is my response to that. Can you finance me? And I look at somebody and I go, why would I ever do that? If you don't believe in it enough, I suggest you take a rain check. I'm looking for serious people who are committed and for whom making a $1,099 investment for long-term financial security makes total sense. It's not for everyone, so thanks for listening. So not only do I absolutely deny that as a possibility, I also take, when they ask that question, I take the opportunity away. I'm no longer, in other words, I'm basically saying, this is obviously not for you. So can you finance me? Your response is, why would I ever do that? If you do not believe in it enough, I suggest you take a rain check. I'm looking for serious people who are committed and for whom making a $1,099 investment for long-term financial security makes sense. It's not for everyone, so thanks for listening. In other words, next, when you start worrying about how you're going to finance somebody into this business, people, you're enabling them in a scarcity mentality outlook. Because even the people that have no money, when they see it, if they get committed to it and they see the vision, they'll look at you and say, man, I don't have the money right now, but maybe let's brainstorm how I can come up with it. They're not going to ask you to finance it. You know, there are 101 mechanisms. I mean, there's not 101. There are millions of mechanisms out there of coming up with $1,099. There are credit cards out there to come up with $1,099. There's so many ways. And it's about you supporting them and coming up with creativity, not somebody who wants you to finance it for them. That's not what it's about. And somebody that says to you and says, oh, well, you finance it for me to prove it's going to work, so you have something at stake. I look at those people and I say, you know, obviously you have no commitment to this and that, but thanks for taking the time for looking at it. And you walk away. Those are not the people you want to build as business builders and work with in your organization. Their whole life is going to be, you prove it to me, you do this, you do that. You're going to have to continue doing things for them the rest of your life. So run the other direction. Remember, your job isn't out there to go and convince and cajole and do this to people. Your job is to find people, once they see the opportunity, become totally committed and then are willing to do something about it. That's what you're looking for. The aces, not the deuces. Somebody who says to you, why should I do this? When that question comes up, I look at them and I say, why shouldn't you do it? I turn the question around. Why shouldn't you do it? Let's take a look at your future. What does your future look like today for you? What is your life going to look like in 5 to 10 years? I'm here to open your eyes to a better tomorrow. Your choice. Got it? Why shouldn't you do it? What does your future look like? Look at your future 5 to 10 years from now. I'm here to open your eyes to a better tomorrow. Your choice. Another question comes up. I've been burned before. That's a common statement we hear, especially with people who've been in network marketing. When people say, I've been burned before, and then my response would be, so your future is based on your past? Then you're not the business partner I'm looking for. I believe in creating a better tomorrow. Anything is possible through God, and my team is about believing in themselves and the abundance God has in store. If you find somebody who believes that their future is based on their past, turn the other direction and go the other direction. When they ask questions about Better Business Bureau, I'm not, you know, and are you a member of the Better Business Bureau? Well, International Nutricon, my company is not a member. I said, I'm not, but Manifex CEO is on the board of the Council for Responsible Nutrition, and its board members have served on the board of the Direct Selling Association as well as the Royal Academy of Medicine. These are heavy hitters. That's what I tell people about our board members. When people ask if the FDA has approved it, of course, all of you have the response to that, but I'll give you mine. I just say the FDA doesn't approve nutritional products. They hold authority over regulation of them in their marketing and manufacture, but it's not like drug approval, which I believe is what you're referring to. These are not drugs. They're nutritional supplements. Somebody says, I don't have the time or money. And I look at them, I go, that's the exact reason you need to do this. This is another time you want to ask them to, hey, tell me, look at your life 5 years from now. What is it going to look like? Do you have time or money then? And they go, no, Mary Jo, I don't see ever having time and money. And I go, that's what I'm telling you. This is the opportunity that's going to open the door for you to have unlimited possibility for time, freedom, and financial abundance. If you don't do something different, life's not going to be different. So choose no more to be slave to money, but let you be the master. I love that language. Someone says, I need to think about it. I said, great. Now, this is where some of you allow people, great, yeah, think about it. I'll get back to you. Da, 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 da. I go, great, but I have others to work with as well. So when you think about it, when do you think you can get back to me? I let them get back to me. When do you think you can get back to me? I'm starting new partners every week, and they feed off of each other. I love to let them know that because then they're missing out. You got to let them know they're missing on something. I start new partners every week in this business, and they feed off each other. So you let me know when you think you can get back to me, okay? And next, go on. I need to talk to my husband and wife. Great. I highly suggest you get them on board as well because this is such an incredible part of your future. I'd be happy to be there to help answer questions if you'd like. When's a good time? Nail down right now when a good time is. Don't let them just drift off into never-never land. You fix the time. The conversation's going to take place. Offer to be there. And support them in their decision that they want to get their husband or wife involved. When somebody tells me, just stick it in the mail, I always revert back. I said, sure, I can send you some things in the mail, but I think it's much better off if we meet face-to-face, since this is not a small decision that you'll be making. So we'll give us more time to go through it. When would be a good time? I always set up a time to meet them. Even if I drop something in the mail, let's meet. I'm too old, too young, too busy, too handicapped, too, all this stuff. I'm too old to do this, Mary Jo. I go, you know what? If you believe that, you're right. But if you believe you can do this and make a new life for yourself, you'll also be right about that. What a beautiful thing to take their language. I know, you know what? If you believe that, you're going to be right. But if you believe you can do this and make a new life for yourself, you'll be right about that too. Your beliefs control your future. I help people shift their beliefs. Are you interested in that? Is this MLM? And the last one I think we have on our list, is this MLM? Yes, and if it wasn't, I wouldn't be a part of it. My favorite response. And there's two reasons, and I don't just leave it at that. I tell them the two reasons. Two reasons why, number one, I'm an economics undergraduate, and did you know that network marketing is the most efficient method of distribution in the world today? We do not spend $1 until a product is sold. We don't spend millions to line the pockets of CBS executives for Super Bowl Sunday ads. All dollars are paid to people like you and me, those who do the work. That's so impactful for people to see. The second reason I give them is that I've spent 20 years in corporate and legal America, and it was always about stepping on other people as I climbed the corporate ladder. In network marketing, I never think about me. All I do is focus on people like you who come in as my business partners, and as long as I help you make you the best you can be in this business, everything works out for me. It is totally consistent with my Christian beliefs that it's not about me. And that's how I respond to that. Those two responses always help get people to make a paradigm shift around network marketing because it's just their belief system and their previous, you know, preconceptions, and their concept on that is just an opportunity for you to do what? To educate them on looking at network marketing differently. So there's a bunch of responses. Let me get you back on the line and we'll close because I know we're running a little over.
All the way.
Good. So everybody unmuted. How's that? Did we learn some things today, a better way to respond?
I'm okay. It's like,
yes. Can you repeat number 11?
Really
I'm not.
How about if I do this, people? How about if I send you?
However.
I know we got so much time.
Okay.
Well, how about if I send out written responses that I went over today?
Yes, please.
How's that?
Thank you.
Not that I don't want you to re-listen to the call, but if I send you written responses, that'll even give you more fodder for your business. How's that?
Oh, great.
Amen.
Cool.
Good. Anyone
Thank
else?
You, Mary
any
jo.
Other comments? Yeah.
Those are excellent.
Good stuff.
Awesome.
Do you hear some of these things from prospects from time to time?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's excellent stuff.
Yeah. It's just common stuff we get fed back, and we got to be ready. And if you're prepared, people, you're going to be extraordinary in prospecting. If you're unprepared, that's the level of discomfort you have in sharing in the first place. And I'm just trying, I want you to get rid of that uncomfortableness around sharing with people because you really do have answers for them, and you want to be prepared for it. Okay.
Sounds like a great thing to
roll.
It sounds like this is something we should role play with upline, downline practice this stuff.
Perfect. Absolutely. Take the language, go out there and role play with it. It's a great exercise to role play with your people. Just start with one of your new associates and say, okay, just cut to the chase and see what they say. They'll just like, whew, they might just clam up. But you want to do that so that they feel more and more confident about it. Just keep role playing and role playing. Role playing is a great way to teach people.
Yes.
Wonderful way. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Great call, Mary Jo.
Okay,
yes.
People. Well, great. Well, let's get
great
out there
call.
And let's go. Just hopefully
That's
this will catapult you and springboard you into, hey, let's go share so we can all be on the boat. Okay? Because I want to see
you,
all
Mary
of
you
on the Mexican New Year.
Thanks, Mary Jo.
Okay. Love you guys. Have a great week.
Love you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.